There comes a time when someone in the spotlight decides it's time to tell their story with an autobiography. Sometimes they come through with what you expect. Sometimes they fall short. But in the case of my guest, he comes up with more than what you might think you're going to get. See, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you get the behind-the-scenes look at his life, obviously, and the business he's been a part of for 40 years. If you're a fan of a story that has a lot of drive, dedication, and even challenges, you get a story that just might light a spark under your butt, too. Here to talk more about his book, Bobby the Brain, Wrestling's Bad Boy Tells All, is Bobby the Brain Heenan. Good morning, boss.
Good morning. How are you?
Good to have you here. And,
Thank you. You
know, with all one of the big trends, I mean, we had dive books that come out, and they come out in droves, and we have business books come out in droves, and pro wrestling has had its share, too. Being a fan, I've checked them all out, and you and Mick Foley are really about the best of the best.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed doing it. It was a lot of fun because, you know, I had all these stories in my head for 40 years, and everybody always told me, why don't you write them down? Why don't you make a book? Well, being on the road 300 some days, you never had time to do it. Plus, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to approach a publisher or a writer or anything like that. And then I met Steve Anderson, my writer, and through Bill Apter, who writes for the wrestling magazines, and we sat down and talked about it, and then I went to Minnesota, and we put things down, decided to write a book, and I thought, you know, it's the fans have paid the money, and a lot of people call the fans marks, and they're a bunch of dummies and everything, but those people paid to bury my mother and put my daughter through college and feed me and all these years. If they want to know something I'm done with, I'm going to tell them about it. Are you turning your back on the wrestling industry? What are you doing to the business, people have said to me. First of all, I am the business. I am the business. The business does not survive without the talent, without talent, which I mean the wrestlers. Whether you're a manager or a wrestler, you're still a wrestler. It's just a role you play in this industry. That's all it is. You people want to see real wrestling, go to Iowa. You want to see professional wrestling, turn the TV on. All it is entertainment. And for people to think that you turned your back on the industry, no, they're wrong. The industry turned their back on us because in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, music, movies, television, all those people have benefits. In wrestling, there isn't one benefit. You don't get any pension. There is no medical. There is no severance pay. When you're done, you're done. If you can't do any more, they just throw you aside. So your best bet is to save all your money while you can or find a job with something that gives you perks and something that can help you out in life. This is a lot of fun when you're 20 and 30 because you don't get hurt and you don't feel it that much. But boy, when you hit 45, start going up, and then you realize, I had a pretty good life. This was fun, but I don't have any money left. There's nothing there for you. And then promoters, they don't care about you anymore. So I just figured it's time to tell the people what it's really like. And maybe I can make some money doing it. Maybe I can have some fun doing it. So if the people are worried about me hurting the business, I'm the business. Because that's how I feel. If they were worried about, they should have protected us years ago and maybe given us a pension or given us some incentives. But they don't do that, so I'm just telling the truth, and it's my privilege as a citizen, the First Amendment, I can say how I feel.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, I should learn how to use a period.
Or at least make you comatose.
Yeah.
But in truth be told, too, the fans today, even if the bosses and the towers don't want to admit, the fans have been pretty hip to what the deal is for a lot of years, too.
Oh, my God. You know, I was hip when I was 10 years old, but I wasn't hip. When I first went to the match in Chicago, I thought, my God, this guy came out of the dressing room. He told the people to be quiet, and they got noisier. Then he put his hands over his ear and kicked the rope, and they got louder. He was defiant of the people. I said, I can do this. This is right at my alley. I don't listen to anybody at home or my teachers. I know I can do this. And I was just hooked from that time on. So that's just the way it went. But, you know, the people are, they were with it. We call it smart. People are smart now. Years ago, we used to say, this guy isn't smart. That means he wasn't smart to the business. I remember a wrestler named Pepe Gomez had some wrestlers over at his house for dinner one night. And he had just gotten married to a new wife. And as the guys walked in, they said to Pepe, is your wife smart? Meaning, does she understand the business? Does she know it's not real?
Right.
And Pepper said, oh, no, she's not smart at all. After dinner, they said goodbye to the company, and Pepper turned around, and his wife beat the hell out of him. Because she thought he was saying she's stupid. So that's the way it was. The people are smart. But they always were smart. First of all, when's the last time you went to Yankee Stadium and saw a masked guy in the on-deck circle? When's the last time they introduced a guy from the Knicks from parts unknown? When's the last time you went to a Giants game And Parcells, who grabbed the umpire, two guys clotheslined the guy running with the ball, gave the ball to the other guy. He ran the end zone, spiked it. Parcells turns the referee around, touchdown. You don't see that. See it in wrestling because it's entertainment.
Wait a minute, though. Remember Woody Hayes clotheslined that player going down the sidelines about 20 years ago?
That was 20? That was 78 or 9?
That was 78 or... I forget which, but...
I used that as an angle one time. I left Minneapolis, the AWA, for a year, and I went to the NWA, and they didn't know how to get rid of me. I said, just say I hit the promoter, like Woody Hayes hit the kid, and that's what they used. Because I wasn't 85 years old then.
Talking with Bobby the Brain Heenan, Bobby the Brain, wrestling's bad boy tells all. You did have one way to beat boredom involved the phones in the airports and black shoe polish.
Oh, yeah, that's the fun part. I used to come from Seattle. I'd take the red-eye at midnight, and I have to go through Chicago to get to Tampa. So I get to Chicago about 5 in the morning. My flight would be at 6:30 or 7 to go to Tampa. But there's nothing to do with O'Hare or any airport at 5 in the morning. So I always had this paste wax you put on your shoes and then buff it off. So I'd put on the earpieces of all the payphones. Then I'd just sit back and watch. And all these Bob Newharts would come by with their three-piece suits and their briefcase, and they'd get on the phone and talk. Well, we all know you can't see your ears. So then they'd walk to the airport. It looked like they had one earmuff on. Oh, it was fun. It was great. Then you know how to lock the doors on an airplane bathroom? When you're in there and you lock it, it'll stay occupied. But if you get sick in there and pass out, they don't know how to get you out.
Right.
But they reach, there's a little nub there or a little slot. You either push down or move it over, and it unlocks the door so they can get in if you need help. Why lock all the doors? Right after lunch. Especially going to Japan. You see those little guys standing there on one leg after about 30 minutes hopping. And then after about 45 minutes, the whole plane kind of has the aroma of kitty litter. But I always left one open. That was for elderly people and children.
All right, so the brain does have a heart.
Yeah.
With your facing throat cancer, which Bobby tells a story in Bobby the Brain, what's this? Has it given you a greater or new measure of appreciation about life? Maybe you're a little hesitant flipping the bird to someone that cuts you off on the road now versus 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah. But I never cared about that anyway in the highway. It always bugged me. Somebody cut me off. So what? You back off the gas for 3 seconds, let him ahead of you. He'll go around 9 cars, go 100 miles an hour. You get to the light, he's 3 cars behind you. Right? Always the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that never bothered me. But I have better patience now with airline people, hotel people, cab people, all that stuff. Because I learned from having cancer, there's nothing out there tougher than this. This really hurts you. It really does. It hurts the way you think. It hurts your life. My life has changed because I can't eat like I used to. I can't say words like I used to. I guess that's why they gave us fingers. But it changes. I'm 58 years old, and I want to have fun now. So I'm not letting nothing bother me. So if somebody ticks me off about something, I just beat cancer. I didn't beat Hogan. I didn't beat Bruno. I beat cancer. Or I may still have it. Who knows? But I'm going to continue on and have a good time. I'm going to worry about other things. I'm going to be worried about the one thing that keeps me going in this world, and that's my daughter. If she's fine and healthy, I'm fine. And that's how I go by my life now.
And as Bobby points out in the book, the brain hasn't left the building yet. What's it been like out there with the tour you've been on and the fans and the people you've had gotten to meet with the book tour?
You know, it's more fun. It's more fun than I thought I could have because as being a heel all those years, I was one of the guys in the business that never did interviews. I never talked to the fans. I never did anything like that. For a simple reason, I was educated and taught that if you're a heel, you're a heel 24 hours a day. And if you're a heel in the ring and a heel in the building, and then you're in the bar talking to fans and everything, then you're telling them, well, it's not really real. He's not really like that. If he's not really like that, the business isn't real. So I tried to protect the business. So I just didn't have anything to do with people that I didn't know or just didn't have anything to do with people. So now that I'm at the book signs, people are coming up and they're thanking me for giving them hours of entertainment. They said, thank you and Gorilla Monsoon. You were so good at this and that. And, you know, they ask me questions and they shake my hand and they smile. And some affectionately call me Weasel. No one's threatening my life. No one's throwing anything at me. And when you talk to these people, you realize they're really the backbone of the business. They know what's going on. I'm surprised a wrestling promoter has never polled the people and seen what they wanted. they just thought what they wanted to give to the people. When I was at WCW, I told one of the people there, there were a lot of people that worked there, no one knew who they were. I said, why don't a couple of you guys sit in each section one night and sit down next to some people, and they see one of the guys come to the ring and say, who is he? Oh, that's Lex Luger. Why are they booing him? Well, they don't like him. Why don't they like him? He looks like a nice guy. And you can find out from everybody who's sitting around what their thought is on this. Who should Luger be wrestling? Do you think he should be champion? You can find out a lot of things by interviewing people. And promotion didn't want to do it. Didn't want to be bothered. They didn't care. They just care about making more money for themselves than anything.
Well, what you're going to learn when you read Bobby the Brain Wrestling's Bad Boy Tells All is that the nickname is not just a gimmick. He is a history book. He's been an observer. He's been a friend to many. He's been an enemy to some. That was basically because they were the catalyst on that regard. And his book is an honest look at a business. No matter what your business is, you might even pick up some lessons as far as what to do when you look at, for example, the WWF and Vince McMahon, certainly what not to do when you look at the WCW and some of those horror stories.
If we'd have been on the air one more year at WCW at Turner Broadcast, I guarantee you we'd have been popping out of corn with Buck Owens on Wrestling Hee Haw. Guarantee it.
You'll get a whole taste of what not to do if you want to run a business or if you want to run it into the ground. I guess you could follow WCW's footsteps. But you wind up, too, with a lot of stories about just a guy having fun with his life. And I think a lot of times we forget about how to do that, too. And you get that and a whole lot more with Bobby the Brain, Wrestling's Bad Boy Tells All. Bobby's on the web at www.bobbythebrain.com, a fun site to do some wandering and buy some stuff from Bobby, too, some T-shirts and hats and all that good stuff, and autographed copies of the book, too. Bobby, been on behalf of all the humanoids and the ham and eggers, thanks for telling
me. Thank you for them. I'm going to do another book in a month.
Another one?
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be same about wrestling. It's going to include a lot of that. But you know that guy Tony Roberts?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does self-help for people.
Yeah, big guy.
I'm going to do maybe a self-help book for people that want to be jerks. Think about it. I'm tired of being slapped around. I'm tired of standing in the line. I'm tired of getting the last seat. Nah, make some noise. Just like yesterday. I check in the hotel here.
Yeah.
And there's got to be 100 people at the desk. Airline crews are coming in. They're, you know, I don't want to stand in line for an hour. And I just had an operation on my hip. So I go up to the girl at the concierge desk. I said, ma'am, may I speak to someone kind? She said, well, I'm kind. I said, could you help me, please? And I staggered over and held on to the chairs and the wall.
Yeah.
And she said, what can I do for you? I said, well, I just had the hip surgery for the seventh time. And I showed her my stitches and everything. She said, oh, my goodness. I said, it's almost impossible for me to stand in line. I was wondering if somebody could help me, and I would compensate them. She said, oh, sir, I'll take care of that for you. In 2 minutes, I was in my room. Self-help.
In case the Lord doesn't help you, maybe you can help yourself.
They're going to give me a room anyway. I just save some time.
Yeah, I mean, you made the line. You made the line shorter by one. Think of it that way.
Thank you. You're right. And they didn't have to mess with me. You're right.
Absolutely. So, look forward to that. A little more wisdom from Bobby the Brain. Bobby, thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you very much. And to the fans out there, thank you for all these great years.